Tony D on the third shift.
It's Tony D with you
on Yahoo Sports Radio and yahoosportsradio.com.
It's Tony D here on the nighttime on Yahoo Sports Radio. Saturday night in Cincinnati, the Pittsburgh Steelers defeated the Bengals 18-16. They advanced to face the Denver Broncos. It was a controversial game. It was a physical game. Ben Roethlisberger hurt his shoulder. Antonio Brown suffered a concussion. D'Angelo Williams had already been out. So those are the three main offensive weapons with the Steelers. Let's break down Pittsburgh with Neil Coulong from SteelerWire.com, part of USA Today Sports. And he joins us here on Yahoo Sports Radio. How are you, Neil?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. All right, so the injury updates. I already mentioned Antonio Brown's going through the concussion protocol. Ben Roethlisberger, any news on Sunday about his shoulder?
Everything that we heard today was really that he was in a lot of pain, and some reports indicated that he's going to be limited in his practice as well as any type of game preparation they might have heading into the AFC Divisional against the Broncos. Now, that's a significant problem in my mind because you really can't put a quarterback who might not be able to practice fully throughout the week into a game in which your opponent knows he can't throw the ball more than 14 yards down the field. And what's interesting to me about it is if any team knows that, it's their opponents. The Denver Broncos put Peyton Manning on the shelf largely because he wasn't really able to throw the ball down the field with all that much accuracy anyway. He was throwing interceptions like crazy for the most part of his career. He had never done anything like that. So they sat him down, gave him time to be healthy, really, to play in this game. And now they're facing the Steelers that, without a vertical weapon, as we've seen the last 3 weeks with them, they're not the same offense. They're not even remotely dynamic. And add into that, Antonio Brown, who took a pretty significant hit at the end of the game Saturday, you have a practice squad backfield that actually did very well in the game that they were in, but now Denver has seen them. Wade Phillips is familiar with what their body work is going to be when they're on the field. They've got a real problem on offense, and I'm not entirely sure that they can be 100% comfortable starting Roethlisberger, but I don't know if they have a choice either.
How cryptic is Ben Roethlisberger when discussing injuries? Because when I saw him Saturday night, he seemed to answer questions with, "We won the game," and I wondered if that meant I'm hiding this or he's really not well and doesn't want to say anything.
I think it very well could be both. It could be neither either. He loves to play the kind of cat and mouse with the media about how he's feeling, but in the end, there's what he says and there's what we can see on film. He took a pretty significant hit. If it's one that's going to put him out of the game the way that it did, even for a limited amount of time, coming back on the field after yet another Landry Jones interception is probably, forced him to come back on the field. I'm not entirely convinced that he's going to be, game ready. I think it's going to be playoff ready. I think it's going to be a situation in which he's going to as best he can and get out there, and they're going to have to figure something out.
Neil Coulong joins us, SteelerWire.com, part of USA Today Sports on the Steelers. Neil, give us a little insight into this rivalry, into this game. We know it's a divisional game, but boy, it seemed a lot more intense than other divisional rivalry games. What is there anything recent that has sprung with these two teams that caused Saturday's game to be a lot more physical and a lot more intense?
Well, to be 100% honest, it's really the insertion and the rise of Vontaze Burfict. I mean, not only did he play a stellar game overall, but there's a history with him between these teams. And while there's always been a feistiness, a chippiness between, strong, hard-nosed defensive football teams coached by largely the same people. And Marvin Lewis came from Pittsburgh. He's a Homestead guy, or McDonald, Pennsylvania, excuse me. He has that background. He coaches his team by and large very similarly over the years. He's done that, but with Burfict on the field in his actions over the last couple games, keep in mind he was just fined $70,000 for what he did against the Steelers back in week 14. For him to have done what he did in this game right after making two tremendous plays, he's a phenomenal linebacker, he really is, but the lightning rod mentality that he has, the controversy that he brings to the field, I think really has brought out the worst in both teams. And you're going to hear it probably within the next couple of days something pretty significant coming from that game, largely because of Vontaze Burfict. In my opinion, I mean, they were always hostile games. They were always intense. that was unbelievable. I've never seen a game like that as what we saw on Saturday night. And, you know, all signs really point to Berfic, the type of player that he is and what he's doing on the field right now. We're not going to see him at the first part of the season. I think it might even be something longer than just a one or two game suspension. They're going to have to send a message. They tried to do everything they could leading into that game, and that didn't work. They're going to have to step it up as far as the league is concerned. And it's really unfortunate because you want to see, you know, good, competitive, intense football, certainly in the playoffs, but that was ridiculous. You watched every other game this weekend, you didn't see anything even remotely close to that, and they were intense games as well. So the league is going to send a message based on that game, and a lot of people are going to come down, you know, under the knife, but really it's going to be perfect more than anybody else.
What have the Steelers said about Joey Porter being on the field when Brown was down? He wasn't supposed to be there, but you can go out if you get permission. Did he get permission?
He had it's obvious there was some type of latent permission given before the game, if not a mandate from the league, instructing all the coaches to do what you can to quell what's going to happen. There are several instances in which assistant coaches on both teams were on the field. I don't think Joey Porter, especially considering, this is all due respect to the Steelers coaching staff, Joey Porter is a relatively young guy in comparison to a lot of the rest of them. He has a reputation, I understand that. Let's keep in mind, he's the same guy that basically assaulted Levi Jones, the Bengals left tackle back in the day at a casino. He got in trouble for that legally. He might not have been the best guy, but I'm not sure if there was a better guy the Steelers could have put out there in that situation. I don't think what Porter did was right. At the same time, Porter was shoved from behind by Wallace Gilberry, a guy that's gotten a little bit of a reputation among the Steelers players as well. It was a bad situation all around, and there simply aren't enough officials on the field to stop that. And that's why they told the coaches, do whatever you can to prevent anything bad from happening. There was a scrum on the sideline between Mike Munchak and Reggie Nelson early in the game, and it looked to me like Reggie Nelson was turning around to go after Jordan Todman, the running back he shoved out of bounds after Todman gave him a pretty aggressive stiff arm. Looked like Nelson, and frankly, his body of work suggested that's fully possible. Nelson was going back to get a little bit of Todman as well, and players don't advance that far into a opposing team's bench to confront another player. It looked to me like Munchak was trying to stop him. Nelson turned around and shoved him. I mean, you give the penalty to Munchak, okay, but to me, all that really says is the official's mandate in that game was, we're not going to give offsetting penalties. Somebody is going to get penalized because that's the only way we can contain this. If you're not going to pay attention to us before the game, you're going to pay attention to us during it. So don't cry when it happens. And frankly, Porter being on the field was not the issue. The fact is, you had, four or five Bengals players surrounding him and the officials. They wouldn't let them simply talk and try to hash out what just happened. And Adam Jones stepped in too far. You know, that's really what it comes down to. It's unfortunate to see a game that, frankly, Cincinnati should have won, decided in such a way, but maybe you should just step back and you know, let the officials do their job after a while. They didn't do that, and that's what cost them the game.
Real quick, 60 seconds, can you give us an idea on their Steelers secondary? As Cincinnati came back in that game, is that a secondary that kind of fell apart, or are they vulnerable in the playoffs?
I think they're vulnerable. I wouldn't say they fell apart in this game. I mean, they played a great defensive it was a great defensive performance all around, considering where they are, what Cincinnati has done to them in the past. You have a guy like A.J. Green, he's going to make plays. You know he's going to. And they finally caught him toward the end of the game. It looks like a little bit of miscommunication between Will Gay on the corner and Mike Mitchell, the safety. And A.J. Green's a phenomenal player. A.J. McCarron threw a nice pass to him. He went up, made a play, and got in the end zone.
Really appreciate it. Neil Kulong, again, SteelerWire.com, part of USA Today Sports. Great stuff. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you.
Again, Neil Kulong from Pittsburgh. Interesting stuff, too, about the referee saying, look, we're not calling offsetting penalties here. Somebody is going to be punished for this kind of action. And that's kind of a good point when you think about it, because unless you say, all right, we are going to make sure somebody is affected by this. So if I punch you and you punch me, we're just going to get offsetting penalties, so let's do it. If the referees say, no, whoever throws a punch, that's going to go down. I don't care if the other person retaliates. We are calling it one team and one team only. Get the message across. Tony D, Yahoo Sports Radio.